This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. The last time artist Choi Chun Wei was here at BFM, it was in 2014, 3 years ago, and he was on his way to Art Basel, Hong Kong. The artist is currently holding an exhibition of collages titled Tectonic Traces at Wailing Contemporary in the Gardens Mall. The exhibition runs till the end of this month. Welcome.
Thank you.
I am very interested in the choice of collages, simply because it's one of the first routes to teaching young people about art. We do potato printing. I remember taking a line for a walk and then where the lines cross, and then you have all these little perimeters, and then you color and decorate whatever. And the other one, of course, is collages. What about this medium appeals to you?
I tried a lot of things before I went into collages. Just like any art student or person who likes to be in art, I started drawing and I started observing very closely spaces, people around me since very young. But eventually, after I've gone into school, I was exposed to this collages process. Of course, I had that earlier in my childhood, but I didn't take it seriously. During my art school days, I remembered my tutor asked me to look downwards and look at the garbage and make something out of it. It's like a journey that you just make a meaning out of it. That had impacted me so much. And I never looked back ever since. I continued to explore. Of course, I love other aspects of art processes, but this one in particular, I find that it is simple and it is also relevant. It is also open-ended kind of possibilities. You can combine, edit. So I think these two words is like combine, edit, re-adopt.
Interestingly, that the words that you have used are very much about the process rather than about the content in itself.
Yeah.
What can you say through a collage that you cannot say perhaps as effectively? I assume that the choice of collage is not accidental, and therefore the medium has to suit the content.
Yes, I want to work into this medium to engage, and I think it is a long-term engagement. And I knew that collage is not a very clean medium. It is not a very highbrow medium, but it has got this bridge that enables the low and the high medium come into place. This is very important for me because on one hand, if you look at the materials, they are really commonplace. And also this medium is a thrown away kind of medium. And it speaks so much about the place that we are in. Yet, I want to be out of this place that we are in by making something out of it.
So you take everyday materials, newspaper, anything that you can cut and shape.
Yeah.
Anything that has color.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it is, like you say, it's lowbrow.
Yeah.
So what's highbrow about it?
The highbrow about it is that I get this pleasure of making the meaning for myself. Probably this way of looking at the world is really bringing me a lot of motivation to search for more of me in this world, perhaps even beyond. I think as I work further, I think the spirit that comes into play, to search, to persevere, to go something beyond the physical. I think that is where meaning-making comes into play. Eventually, it becomes collage thinking. It becomes attaining something that is beyond existence.
I love that expression, collage thinking. Yeah. What is, from your perspective, collage thinking? Looking at a collage, one assumes that collage thinking will be like, sometimes there are connected, sometimes they are not connected, but they're placed one on top of each other, they're glued together, you cut them up, you edit them. In a way, it's like mind mapping.
Yes. It is very intuitive mind mapping. In fact, it is also a very form of intuitive way of thinking through things. I think we always associate thinking with just common subjects that we had. And I had that before. But now I started to see in arts, you do have its own distinctive thinking process that is involved in the making process. And a collage is that, that you actually think through the world, probably, you know, think through the garbage. yeah, I mean, it sounds silly, but and that's what I do. I glean through things that is around me. I don't have to go far. It is really near.
What's your process? You introduced the word that it's a process of thinking, it's a process of creating. But what is that process that you go through? Do you think first or collect first? Or where's the first point?
Yeah, that's a good one. Both ways. I think sometimes I have that image that probably when I look at certain images around me, I would have some extended ideas towards that image. So I will go and look for things to add on to it. Sometimes I don't. I just like to cut up things. I just like to use scissors or blades or cutters to take certain keywords out, to take certain images out, then put it into my pockets or my little drawers.
You collect.
Yeah, I collect. But it is very mobile as well because it's not something really big. It's just a lot of fragments. And then I would actually try to assemble them when I have a bit of time after that. But the process is interweaved with my daily life. So it is not like as if I have certain hours going to studio and then work.
When you say interweave into your daily life, so do you work haphazardly?
I embrace that.
Randomness.
Randomness, yeah. I embrace that. Because I observe all the time. So I cannot stop observing. I cannot stop feeling about things around me. And I suppose there's no time frame for that. But when I really sit down and try to make it work and fit in, that's where I really probably start late at night and probably I need a period of time to achieve it. Yeah.
The idea in the art, is it something that you find in the creating process or is it the thing that drives you to say, this is the idea, therefore now I try to assemble an image. So the idea is abstract.
Yeah.
And the visualization in your mind's eye allows you, therefore, to create that work.
Yes, yes. I must have that drive that comes from the image in my mind. That imagination is really necessary. But of course, through collage, it will not work without me cutting up things, without me going through all this process, that active process, active engagement through the physical sense. So I enjoyed that part too. So it's kind of like both. But of course, yes, I must have that mental image. I must say like I want to do something with that image. Probably I want to have my collage sort of like a bit more relief and all that. I have that in mind.
Do you spend time cutting, then putting it on, or as you work, you cut and paste? It sounds like very simple DIY cut and paste. But from a layman's perspective, because collages are put together like this, do you cut and then do it, or do you cut a pile before you even start?
At times, I enjoy looking at the pile. I'm amazed by the piles. At times, I want to stabilize it, so I put it in my sort of my little pocket diary or sketchbook, however I want to call it. But I do have pages that I just glue it down and it looks really simple and it looks really DIY. And I really like that. It worked both ways. But of course, as I go along, I became more organized. I kind of categorized a little bit my piles. I think that itself, I reckon that gives me more ideas. So back to the question of the image. By actually arranging them without gluing them yet, I can have ideas.
Yeah. So the ideas evolve as you are in the process of creating. It is not something you say, I have that in my mind now, so I try to manifest it. But it's kind of, okay, oh, this is shifting and all that.
It is, as I mature, perhaps, I start to see as emerging. But I do have a frame. Yeah, not like I'm doing it really random from the start. It's just that I reckon that I need to be flexible as I go along. I cannot be too imposing. So the collage and the piles of collages will tell me something as if they speak to me. And I have this conversation going on and on. In fact, as I go through over these years, I start to realize that my friends are not just the collages, but paint or sand or other things that are around me.
Yeah, because you are not just using what you collect in terms of things that you can cut. You texture it and give it different kinds of feel.
Love doing that. Yeah.
I want to ask you also about once you are in your studio doing the work itself, what happens? Do you listen to music? Is it total silence? What happens there?
Usually, I prefer to be totally silenced, but lately I've been listening to some classical music, music without lyrics. I like those rhythms to be next to me. Sometimes it is just being in the night. So, but at times you have, you know, music that comes from my kids, I don't know. But most of the time when I want to achieve something really concrete, I will have classical music. I think that would be nice.
Because of the rhythm, do they change how you create? Do they influence the visualization?
Yeah, I think it heightens my emotions and all that. It really makes me feel about what I'm having in front of me as well. That is totally the opposite, but also it calms me down. I mean, I get quite anxious at times looking at these things. I like it. I like to collect them, but it also makes me anxious because I start to see that, well, this world is full of things that are not really needed.
We consume too much. And yet we don't really consume. We just collect and then we discard.
Yeah, it's scary.
I'm speaking with the artist Choy Chun Wei, who is holding a solo exhibition at Wheeling Contemporary in the Gardens Mall. Coming up, we'll talk to him about the exhibition titled Tectonic Traces. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row, the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng speaking with Choy Chun Wei, who has an exhibition at Wheeling Contemporary. This exhibition is titled Tectonic Traces and will run till the end of the month. We've talked about, in a sense, your process.
Yeah.
I want to know, where is the audience or where is the spectator when you are creating? Do you think of us or do you just go into your own world and be with this image that you have in your mind and you're busy sticking and gluing and putting the work together?
If I look at it from over the years so far, I still try to retain the mind that, oh, I don't care about the audience and all that. But as I move along, when I start to put colors and try to beautify or make it a little bit more tactile with my collages, I do have, in a sense, in my mind that the audience would be looking at this as a very robust, very tactile,
dynamic, very
dynamic kind of surfaces. And it's like gelling that with the cold information that's coming to us. So I like that kind of drawing in prospect using all these visual devices. Yeah.
You say you are aware of the person who is standing in front of the final work and looking at it. What access do you provide this person to understand your work? I know often in an exhibition there is a curator who writes all these little information and places it right next to the work so that we can read and have a way of understanding it.
Yeah.
As the artist, what do you provide to us?
I think, first of all, my concern is more so with redefining what is really aesthetic experience. I think that is something that I need to own it for myself first. First of all, I think by having paint with a collage or having certain tectonic quality with collage, I was thinking more about the formality. I was thinking more about how can I create the effect that probably they will want to see. So that is my first way to draw the viewers. Yeah.
Does that mean then that the beautiful must be a part of the work?
Yes, poetry got to be part of the work. I think having that message is natural because I probably felt it first. But my main thing is to be an artist. So I want to create my own perspective about beauty. So I think that I need to find the spectrum of these processes. That is something that is giving me motivation to go on.
So would it be fair for me to say that, you know, the first experience with your work is not so much something that is through my mind, looking at it and say, oh, what does it mean? The first experience should be an emotional one that makes me say, wow, it's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the first drawing in has to be that because it's visual. It has to be those visual elements in the state of relationships. I can't run away from being that as my priority.
But yet, if I were to understand what was sent to me in terms of the description of what you are trying to do, what you are pointing out are not particularly beautiful in the sense that you're talking about things we throw away, you're talking about our displacement and our placement around contradictions. So what is beautiful is now somehow being subverted by the idea that is not necessarily beautiful. I would think then that you are drawing us to something that's beautiful, but you are telling us that it really isn't beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I find the relationship between the low and the high, the discarded and the pain, the relationship is beautiful. So the beauty to me is to suspend these two elements together. I think it's to be truthful. I mean, I define that for myself. I can't be starting with painting some landscape with just pain. I'm not satisfied with that. So beauty to me is that. But to the world, probably they'll say, that shouldn't be in the painting, but that is not for me. So my lens would be saying that sand, paint, and fragments of magazine collages, that would be beautiful.
How through your art then do you question whatever questions that you have about life? How do you question them through your art?
Well, naturally, I think as I continue to make, I will respond to what I've made. And that eventually will trigger some questions in me. Along the way, that became motivation to go deeper.
So far, you have said that you are trying to share with us your sense of what constitutes something that's aesthetically pleasing, aesthetically compelling. Beyond that kind of experience, as an artist, when you create a work, how are you challenging our ways of seeing the world?
That is something that is kind of a lifelong search for me. But first of all, I must challenge myself. By making I'm renewed, I can actually see an enlarged perspective of the world that may not be natural in the physical sense, but something that is enriching the way I can look at this world. And out of it, it is the criticality towards this material called graphic design. What is graphic design? Is basically the communication means for us that is surrounding us, that is actually encroaching every aspect of our life, whether you are indoor, outdoor, anywhere you are. So
billboards, television sets, handphones.
Yeah, the other day I was driving across a highway and I can see, wow, you know, a parade of billboards that's coming to me, that's like flashing across my sights. And I've been taking it in. So when I go to the LRT train, I'm taking it in as well, along the pillars, not counting the televisions, online screens and all that.
And we see all these things. But in some ways, what you do with your collage are also little screens and little billboards.
Yes, I love rectangles, I love squares. They kind of stabilize my emotion. But along the way, I start to relate that to screens. And I start to have this idea like, well, it relates to buildings, it relates to what we see on the screen, the illusions, the frames. We are always within these frames. So why not enlarge that element, make it more obvious. So make it more obvious in this series.
How do you balance between what you want to create and what is sellable?
That is something that I'm been juggling with. It is ongoing. But I never want to be driven by just the sales. I mean, that is something for me. I want the work to evolve, not necessarily big steps, but small little steps, and make sure that they evolve.
So if we look at your works and tracing them back and looking into what you're doing now, we see a journey?
Yes, I'm still constructing this very big book. And you will see the traces of subtle evolutions. Some people say I'm doing the same collages, but I've never finished with the story because I just want to keep engaging with this. And along the way, when you look back, probably you will see that changes.
Tectonic Traces, an exhibition of works by Choi Chun Wei, runs at Wading Contemporary, and it will run till the end of the month. And admission to the gallery is free. Wading Contemporary is in Gardens Mall. Visiting hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Sun Heng.
This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Sun Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.